Hi, this is Susan Keck, and I am at the ASCD conference in Chicago, and I have the pleasure and very good fortune to be sitting with Charlotte Danielson, and she has generously agreed to talk with us about her new book, which is on teacher leadership. So Charlotte, if you could please tell us, what are some key ideas from your book, and also thinking in terms of how do those key ideas relate to our coaches?
The framework for teacher leadership that I described in this new book is, I think, the first time teacher leadership has been defined as absent from role and formal responsibility. That is, there are teacher leaders, that is, there are teachers in schools who have leadership roles, and they are generally department chairs, team leaders, sometimes instructional coaches. Those are leaders, no doubt about it, and in order to do those jobs well, one needs leadership skills. But typically, those are positions that a person applies for, they are interviewed for, they often have to leave their own classroom, they become set apart from their teaching colleagues. And nothing that I have in this book is intended to cast aspersion on those roles. Those are important roles. It's just that it's not sufficient. There is a whole other category of teacher leaders who are teachers. Don't ever want to be administrators, don't see their role as to become a department head so they then could apply for an assistant principalship or something. No, but they are leaders. They are definitely leaders, and so what I've tried to do is to describe what it is that first of all, what is this type of informal, spontaneous, organic teacher leadership? What is it that these teacher leaders do? How do they do it? In what areas of the school life do they do it? And then how can the school and the school district promote the development and the emergence of teacher leaders? What are the school conditions? What are the skills people need, which they probably didn't learn in their teacher training program? How to facilitate meetings, how to just knowing some things, more advanced skills in curriculum and assessment and so on, so that they can be a resource to their colleagues. But it's about informal teacher leadership, taking initiative, doing some things, but not because you were assigned to it.
And if I went into a school and I spent a couple days in a school, what would I see in terms of teacher leadership behaviors?
Well, you might not see it in a couple of days, actually. That is typically a teacher leader will see an opportunity, see some situation that they want to see improved. So it might be the grading system, it might be how they're teaching writing, it might be that they don't have a Model UN. I mean, it could be any number of things that over a long term, typically half a year, a teacher would take this on to improve it, to take some initiative, to convince colleagues. So it's collaborative. It's individual commitment, as Michael Fullan says, but it's collective mobilization of energy, of skill, around some important purpose. And often, the ideas that teacher leaders have to improve the school along these lines are teacher ideas. And sometimes they're ideas that a principal would have, but often not. But the other thing that you would see in a school has to do with the culture of the school, around a focus on student learning and a deep commitment to that, but also a safe environment for teachers to take risks. Not only students, mm-hmm. but also teachers. To try things that it's got to be safe for them.
And what is the role of the administrator in this?
Yeah, there is a role for the administrator. And some teacher leaders tell me they just want their administrator to stay out of the way. And there's that. But in addition to that, it's more. It is to convey confidence in teachers, to maintain the vision for student learning, to help support teachers in their work so that when a teacher has a good idea to do something, they can find time to do it or to work on it. So it's a facilitative role primarily. Sometimes it's running your interference with downtown. Sometimes it's representing some innovation to the public, to parents, to the board, or to the superintendent. So and sometimes it's working with a teacher to clarify an idea and to recognize or to sort of point out where something similar is being done, and so to know what else is going on that you could link up with. So So yeah, it's a really important role for administrators, and it's important for principals not to feel that teacher leaders are somehow threatening their authority.
Right.
They're not. And Ann Lieberman has a really good term for that. She called it contested ground. Yeah, when people see it as contested ground, that's already a problem. So
right.
It takes administrators who see the value of this and are not threatened by it.
Mm-hmm.
They play a very important role.
Thanks. I just have one more question.
Okay.
I think of our coaches as teacher leaders, however,
right.
That's a more formal role. They had to apply for it. They're not a classroom teacher any longer.
Right.
But how could coaches also support the cultivation of teacher leaders?
Well, they've got time, of course, to devote to supporting their colleagues. And I would definitely say that those are leadership people, no doubt about it. But they can play that same supportive and facilitative role that I just described for principals. That is, help people talk things through, know the resources, know what else is going on. So yeah, they can play a role there as well. But it's mostly a supportive, facilitative role.
Okay. Thank you so much. I feel very privileged to have
Not
this time with
it's
you.
Great.
Okay.
Well, okay. And so send me the form and all that.
All right.
Good. Thank you. It was really fun.
Yes, it was.
I think this cracked me up.